Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott try to answer a question. Does the Californian AVA of California actually produce good wines? Tonight they find out that answer is no when they drink Liberty School Cabernet. So sit back, relax, and suffer along with us here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here, folks. Thanks for joining us. And I'm very hopeful of tonight's show.
Yes, on tonight's show, folks, we are going into the portfolio of Austin Hope Winery. He has multitudes of wine. And I don't know if he's a... Is he a real person or...
I think... Well, he's got a real picture.
Is he dead?
He deed.
He's not dead, is he?
Met up with a childhood friend.
Oh, Hope Family Wines is what this is. But this is their Liberty School Cabernet Sauvignon. Liberty School is an old school label. Been around for many, many years. Possibly not like this, though. It was one of those where you'd go into Smith & Malinsky and they'd have it as a house wine, basically. It was their straight Cabernet around, I mean, yeah, they spent a shit ton. They called, charged a shit ton for it, but it's what you bought. It was back, it and Josh and a few other ones were those wines that were solidly made, drinkable Cabernets at an affordable price.
You refer to that class wine as a steakhouse wine.
It's steakhouse wine, yes. Hess Select was another one that was in that group. Normally seen in restaurants, too, for many, many years. That was Liberty School. But now Hope Family Wineries has it. I'm not sure how long they've owned it, but they have it. And they've made it probably into a fruit bomb that is their wines. Because now it's Paso Robles. And if you know Austin Hope, they do Troublemaker, which we've had, and hate. Quest, which we haven't had, but don't probably like. Another wine that I think that they've probably perverted and turned into shit is Triana, because I like Triana quite a bit, but that's old vintages of it. I don't think I would like it currently. And then they have their own stuff, Austin Hope, that they charge a fuck ton for. Locally, we see that stuff for sale at Giant Eagle. They seem to love Austin Hope stuff. Whether or not it's good or not, I don't know, because I wouldn't pay for it. I'm not interested in it. I don't really like to spend $50 on a Paso Robles Cabernet.
No way.
I'm just not
going
to
do it.
That has never occurred to me to do, probably because that's a poor waste of your money.
Yeah, you can get decent Napas for less than that.
Yes, or Sonomas, or something from a different country. Not that I think Paso Robles is shit. It's just I think Paso Robles isn't any good. I just think it's a style of Cabernet that I don't care for. I like Justin, some vintages.
Yeah.
Not the most recent one, but some vintages. I used to like J.Lore Hilltop until it went into the sewer. And that's all I got for you. I like Zins from Paso, but not Cabernet. Most generally because they are fruit forward, soft, and not interesting, and sometimes a little too jazzy. I've already smelled this one, and it smells jazzy. So,
you hate the jazz.
I hate fucking jazzy.
Sometimes you like jazzy. You use it as a nice little metaphor from time to time.
Well, yes, but...
You know what I like about this? It's jazzy.
Yes, but a twinkle of jazziness. Not all jazz.
Nah.
No, I mean, because, like, who likes jazz?
Well, lots of people like jazz.
Do they?
Yeah, well, they say they do.
Yeah, because they think that sounds good, but they don't really. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, I like jazz. No, you don't. I mean, I'll listen to it. It's decent background stuff, and I'm sure that it is there's a lot of merit to it, obviously. But come on.
Really? Is there?
Yes, there's a lot of talent in jazz, but that's not really the point. There's not a lot of talent in making something be twinkly in wine. It's just... Yeah, fruit bombs. That's the best term. You can use fruit bomb, fruit bomb, fruit bomb.
Oh.
I know. I know. It smells like shit. And fruit bomb. I'm tired of them. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back so I can rant some more about this fucking wine here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So the 2017 Liberty School Cabernet from Paso Robles in California. Tonight, though, also on the Potpourri, we're going to talk about some weird brands we've had. Weird. We've seen. We haven't tried, but weird.
Oof.
Because there's a few I want to talk about to see if we have both seen it and what we think of it.
Okay.
Without knowing anything about it. That's the Potpourri. So.
You mean we're going to be judgmental without any factual basis?
Absolutely. We're going to be mean girls, essentially.
What? Yep. I like being a mean girl.
I know. Well, we're good at that.
I like being a mean girl.
So this wine, though, Liberty School, I remember one time I had it. My buddy and I, Adam, we went to Smith & Wolinski.
Okay.
Actually, and we had this. Also had 16-ounce New York, or 16-ounce fillets.
Okay.
Bone-in. I had that, and Adam had beef Wellington. We ate and drank so much that we had to walk around Easton, that's the place where it's at, for like an hour and a half just to let our food, our stomach settle, because we were that, like, uncomfortable. You know, that's the only time I've been to Smith & Wolinski's, but we did have Liberty School.
How was Adam's beef Wellington?
Quite good. That was 20 years ago when we did that.
Still, it's, you know how many times you need to order beef Wellington? Once.
Yeah, 17 years ago, actually, yeah.
Maybe once every 17 years.
Yeah, we went there when I graduated from. Was it when I graduated? Yeah, graduated law school.
Nice.
Yeah. So, in the glass. Oh, technical notes, too. Yeah, here I am slipping. I got so angry earlier. I will go to that because I have that right here. It is on oak. I believe it's a mix of French. Yes, it's French and American oak barrels, 10%, which are new. For 16 months, that's a long time for a sub-$18 bottle of wine.
Yeah.
The blend is 90% Cabernet, 5% Syrah, 3% Merlot, 2% Petite Syrah for some color. They say the tasting notes. They say, this Cabernet is a staple for any wine lover. At first glance, the deep garnet color fades into brickish red edge. Aromas first greet you with warm vanilla. Fresh currants, and lightly toasted oak notes. On the palate, lush, approachable tannins smoothly coat your mouth. Dark fruits, savory herbs, and clean, bright acidity finish with a lingering sweet oak, making this wine extremely food-friendly. That's right.
If it's got half of what they say it is going on, this is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but interpret that for what, you know, their speak as to reality. It's going to be... There's going to be residual sugar because I smelled on the nose. It smells like blackberry jam on the nose with vanilla. Oh, yeah. Blackberry jam.
I just go jam in general. It just smells like a jelly jar.
Oh, yeah. It's a sloppy, flabby nose.
Yeah, it's not Welch's, but it's headed that way.
Yeah.
Smucker's.
Oh, yeah.
Blueberry.
What you don't want the nose to smell like. By the way, yeah, Troublemaker. I mean, they make Troublemaker. I mean, come on, man. What is Quest? I am curious about what Quest is.
It's a Bordeaux blend. They don't tell you what's in it.
Is it a rare red blend?
It's a rare red blend.
I've seen that. It's at, once again, it's at Giant Eagle. They sell the shit out of this stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they don't tell anything about it, do they?
Secret. It's special.
They don't want anybody to steal their secret sauce.
It's their
they don't
secret,
want that.
It's their secret sauce.
They're like, nobody.
Why do you want to know what's in their secret sauce?
Nobody should know. No.
It's a good thing because they're not telling.
No. Ooh, that's aged in American oak barrels. How much do you not want to drink that?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Mm. Yeah, no.
Oh, God.
That's awful.
Oh, my God. It doesn't taste like a sugary mess. It tastes like NutraSweet.
Oh,
it tastes like artificial sweetener.
Awful.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Folks, I hate diet sodas.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Scott. It tastes like aspartame.
Oh, my God.
All the way through the mid-palate. Dusty tannin. But then, oh, Jesus Christ, the finish is, oh, my Jesus Christ. Finishes with faux oak. I suppose it's oak. The fuck? The whole wine, though, is just inundated and just permeated with that horrid oak. There is residual sugar there, but it's like a sweet tea aspartame sweetness. So if you ever bottled sweet tea, it flirts between sugar cane and then aspartame, which means, you know, it just doesn't taste natural or normal. There's a bright cherry, but a cherry cola.
Yeah,
diet cherry cola actually would be what I'd say, and it has a hollow, dusty palate where there's tannin and acidity that are kind of working at each other and create a weird, weird sensation. I have never had a wine that has that odd of a sensation. It's not corked. It is a absolute train wreck. I don't even know where to. I mean. Jesus H, man. Where's the warden? We shouldn't have poured that out.
You know.
It's a lot better than this.
Which would you rather drink?
The warden.
19 crimes of the warden or this?
I'd rather drink 19 crimes. And I'd just take the... I'd do the Russian roulette, man. I'd deer hunter that stuff. Let's try it again.
If I'm going to imbue, I'm not going to imbue with this. Oh, my God.
There's like a starchiness to the palate too. Oh. Now it's starting to. Oh, yeah, it's like a rhubarb cherry, and then that dusty oak because it's light in the fruit, and everything behind it just tastes like sawdust and.
Oh. I just can't get past that aspartame, that artificial sweetener taste.
And the oak, it's a sawdustish oak. Proper French oak provides spiciness. It provides length and subtlety. This doesn't do any of those things.
The only thing you're getting from the oak here is the sour. That sour oak, it's almost like sick.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's that acidity and the tannin fighting each other. Like I said, because there's acidity there with them going into the oak.
And I think the acidity's winning.
Oh, it is.
It's not. It's what I mean by that is it's overcoming the tannins, but there's nothing about this wine that's winning.
No. It's all losing.
Oh, my God.
I never would have thought it would be this bad. This is not as good as Troublemaker.
I didn't expect it to be bad at all. I thought it was going to be at least okay.
It's Austin Hope, man. They make really bad wine. I mean, they make very poor wine. Everything they touch is shit.
This is terrible.
Because they're just trying to follow. They think, they believe they have some illusion as to what the public wants. And they don't know their ass from a hole in a wall. I don't know. I think some of these wines... It's like a one-time buy. Somebody buys it, tries it, doesn't like it, and then moves on. Because the old school, Liberty School, I've had that. Doesn't taste like this.
No. Dude, my dad would buy this all the time. 10 years ago, family events, he'd have a couple bottles of this. It was drinkable. It had just a level of drinkability that it wasn't spectacular.
And I don't know that it was Paso in the old days. I think it was just a Cali designate. Probably because this is just a mutt of a Paso, too. I mean, they don't know what they're doing. They're just bad. They just make bad wine.
This really is bad.
And sometimes you just get down to that point. They make bad wine. They do a bad job. And they've bought decent labels with decent pedigree. I don't believe Austin Hope was always involved with Treana. And then again, because I never knew what Austin Hope was. And then you saw their stuff. $50 for a Paso Cab. I was like, no thanks. I don't give a shit what wine or what reviewer you bought off to get your 95. But Triana was been around, so is Liberty School. And it's just like, my God. I'm looking at these prices that they have on this stuff. It's just dumb.
$125.
Well, who the fuck's going to... I mean, yeah, here's that Cab Franc. Oh, exclusively for 12-bottle seller club members. Oh, my God. They have a big line of stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
Jesus.
It can't all be made in Paso. They have to be sourcing stuff from outside of Paso Robles.
I don't know. I mean, their stuff is expensive. And maybe it gets good as it goes up, but this stuff isn't. I mean, I don't even know. It's like,
why would you spend good money when you've got this level that's so bad?
Well, Scott... You can't...
Why would you trust them?
Well, yeah. How could you ever, ever suggest that you're competent at winemaking and make this?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, come on, man. There's no way you could ever suggest this is in your portfolio, this is on your resume, and this shows that you're a good winemaker.
You should be embarrassed to put this out.
Any bum off the street could fucking do something that tastes like this.
You can make a kit wine better than this.
Fuck yes, you could. It tastes like something that I made in my bathtub. I didn't even clean the bathtub before I did it. It's bathtub hooch. It looks like the part, but it isn't. They're just trading on an old school name that people know and appreciate. I know, it's shit.
Oh, God.
It's that nose, man. That nose was a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
And you know, it tastes very grapey now. And it tastes like Dimetapp. It's a Dimetapp grapiness.
Purple Death?
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit, man. There's Purple Death all up and down this. And 16 months on French oak. Fuck you. This isn't an oak for 16 months.
Maybe like 1% of the wine.
Oh, fuck you. That's a lie. Because it doesn't matter. You can lie about it. It's not true. They did not have this wine in oak for 16 months. Okay, let's do the math. It's 2020.
Mm-hmm.
16 months. So it was harvested, everything, in 17. All right. So, they 16 months. It's not going to go in right off the bat. So they probably have 2 years of prep to put this out. It took them 2 years to put this shit out.
So to come out... To come out of the barrels in 19.
Didn't come out of the barrel.
It's going to go straight to bottle.
This is a vat wine. You can taste it. It's just a vat. You know, I mean...
Vat or maybe a, you know, plastic milk jug.
Maybe they got paid off by Josh to make something that tastes worse than them, so they're not the worst wine.
Which would you rather have, Josh or this?
I haven't had Josh in a hot minute.
I'd rather have Josh. Which would you rather have, Fry Brothers or this?
That's Sophie's choice. They're both bad. Fry Brothers...
I don't.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's right.
They picked us.
Holy shit.
They picked us.
I'm so excited.
Mom, they picked us.
Yes. They there was a pause, but they picked us. Oh my gosh. This is, I mean, Jesus Christ. And Triple B was mad that she didn't have this. Jesus.
You should save her a glass. Tell her how good it was.
When the value priced Hall of Fame. God.
Bo is secretly on my lap. I'm rubbing his nose. Oh. He remembers his buddy Scott because Scott rubs his nose. He just doesn't know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll pat his paws. He'll sit there.
Mm-hmm. He's one of these, you know, if you've ever been around a Labradoodle, he doesn't look like one. He looks like a shaggy dog because he's a flat coat. But, you know, his parents are a poodle and a Labrador. That's what they are. A yellow lab, I presume. And a standard poodle, so he's tall. Well, he's going to be tall.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he can already get up on the counter. But still, he's also, Scott, extremely fast. I mean, beyond...
He looks it. He's so lanky.
Yep. Extremely agile. For speed. Fast. Is a leaper. You know, he's just wildly athletic. When he gets off the bed, he gets in a running sprint and then leaps in the air off the bed. Doesn't have to. He just does it. Like a dog jumping in a pond. Yeah. But his kryptonite is when it's hot outside, he gets very hot because he's got a lot of hair. So now he's laying back down on the couch.
That's why we like each other, because I'm wildly athletic as well. Princess loves when I jump off the couch into the bed like that. Just like Bo does.
Just as long as it's the guest bed. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we're going to talk about some wineries we've seen at the store. We just don't know the fuck they are because, you know, they have no pedigree. There's no point of reference. They're just there. Kind of like Austin Hope. And don't ever buy anything from them, ever, folks.
No.
Trash. And you know what? They fucked up Liberty School to the point where you should boycott everything that they make.
Why would I want to try Triana? Why would I try it again?
That's another label that's fucked. So, the first one I've seen, it's around $20. And I've seen it, Kroger, it's from Napa Valley. But I don't even know. I have no idea. Because obviously you've got, Napa Valley costs a lot of money to be there. I presume it's sourced. I have no idea. But it's called Hawkstone Winery from Napa Valley.
Hmm.
Don't know anything about it. Found their website. And I mean, they have four different wines. They're in Kroger's, but there's not much about it. I don't see how they're in any kind of anything. It's weird. Hawkstone.
Huh.
Celebrated varietals from Napa Valley. We might have one on sometime, but I'm afraid. These are the things for the show. And please give us a shout out if one of these things are good. But Hawkstone is the first one I've seen.
I've seen it too.
Yeah.
I was just like you. I was curious, and there's not a lot out there about it. I don't think it's reviewed.
It's a connoisseur series, and it's got an animal on the label.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a hawk, you know. The next one I've seen, and this has been at Kroger a lot, it's a Central Valley wine, and it's like, it's weird because it's all on closeout, you know? And some bottles are like 24 on closeout, other bottles are 19. It's the same damn thing, but they have them marked down differently. Mm. Same wine, same everything. But it's a Terlato wine, and it's the Big Max Cabernet.
And I've seen that one too.
Yeah. And it's just like, really, guys? It's Central Valley. You know, it's a Central Coast. I'm sorry. It's Central Coast. And that isn't a $30 cab. Obviously, people told him that because nobody bought it. And once again, it has an animal on the label, a bear.
Oof.
And I don't know what the fuck. It's like, who gave you that made you think that was good? What is bear? They have the sell sheet here. Ooh, it's the sell sheet. Okay, this is very interesting. Oh, this is like, remember Josh Sellers, how they had that fucked up thing?
I do.
They said category trends. California Cabernet is a $1.9 billion market. That's very interesting. 64% of consumers try a new product simply because the package catches their eye.
What?
With an exclamation point.
What?
Yes. Benefits. Big Mac's Cabernet is in a growing multi-million dollar price segment. Big turns. Big Mac's is a non-traditional label that is eye-catching and will turn well at the shelf. Look, I mean, we're talking about wine, a winery right here, just like Austin Hope. They're going for packaging. They're not going for quality. Maxville is actually who makes Big Mac's. So Maxville, I've never heard of them. But
and
right there, you just see the winery itself saying, hey, we know we're not any good. We're just trying to trick people. It's a con game, though, isn't it?
It is.
Where's the snake oil? Here we are.
There's a new budget line that I've been seeing. Lefty?
Lefty?
Lefty.
Never seen it.
And it's got these cute, cheeky names. It's those things you love, those trendy red blends.
Oh, God.
But they do white blends, too. But it's got a nice, arty little label, and it's like, you know, at some point, I'm a sucker for those cheap-ass bottles from the grocery. I'll bring a Lefty on the show.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maxville just found it. They make some pretty expensive stuff. Their base Cabernet is Napa, and it's $60 a bottle. Then they have a red blend for $110. Their Petite Syrah is $60. Their Cab Franc is $60.
Jesus.
They have a single vineyard Cabernet for $155. A Sauvignon Blanc for $30. No Chardonnay, though. Strangely enough, all these wines are in stock, so you can't buy them. I mean, I'm just saying. Library wines. They have some library wines, folks. I think I've heard of Maxville, at least the insignia is familiar. You can buy their 14 Cabernet, Scott. How much do you think they want for their 14 Napa? It's library, you know.
$269.
$72.
Oh.
How much do you think, though, that you could pay for the 15?
$5,700.
And no, $65. So, yeah, that's very stupid.
It's weird.
But, you know, yeah. They don't have actually much. They're out of stock of the Magnums. The 15 vintage. Sorry, Scott.
It's because they didn't have it. Oh, so I can't open my Magnum?
They had four. Yes. They had four Magnums, yes.
But they forgot to empty the Pinot Noir out of the bottle before they...
Then they meant condoms, but that's okay.
Well, condominiums are important real estate investments in California.
You know, the last winery that I've seen that was like, what the fuck is that, is Robert Hall.
Okay.
I believe it's also Paso. And it's normally $30 and now for $14.99. You seen that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's there. It's at the shitty Kroger's.
Okay.
Yeah, strangely enough.
So there's one that I see all the time, and uh-huh. You just have to buy it at some point. The really beautiful blue bottle, the Riesling, the Schmitzon.
Oh, yeah. I know Schmitzon.
Is it decent?
It's cheap German Riesling.
Well, I like
it. It's better than this, but, you know. I mean, it's simple and sweet. This is terrible. I mean, I would drink that right now in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
One thing I've been buying at that Kroger is Kroger has their culinary cuts, their prepackaged prime beef.
Ooh.
I've been buying their ribeyes.
Nice.
It's a little expensive. It's a 10-ounce steak for $12.99. But in today's market, you can't buy much. There isn't much out there. And so I have six of those in the fridge right now, but they're good because of their packaging through 6/8. I also bought a flank steak at Weiland's, and I thought it was $15.99. Then that's just the pound by pound. So I got a $30 flank steak.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Didn't send that back to the butcher.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be very good when I grill it tomorrow night, but still, it's $16.99 for flank. But
well, how are you going to treat that?
I just do a little salt, pepper, garlic. Powder on.
Oh, Flank, you got to do something with it, son.
You don't. Not if I cook it.
A little lemon zest.
Why?
Maybe some thinly sliced red pepper on it.
You don't need that. That's skirt steak, dummy. You don't.
Flank, you can treat similarly. You can.
But I don't have to. You might have to.
It's not that you have to. Occasionally,
I'll do a little herb butter and baste it a little bit.
You like those treated butters, compound butters.
I did buy more of the, what is it, the Epicurean, whatever it is. I like that. But it's a finishing thing, though. I actually melt butter and put thyme, rosemary, and garlic in it.
It's fantastic.
And sometimes I'll baste stuff with that, but won't.
See, I would do something like that with that flank steak. That would be fantastic.
But that one won't need it, I don't think, so I won't. But still, should be delicious. And I got some pork chops. And the cheese tonight, I love their Cabot cheeses, just their Cabot cheddars.
Cabot's great.
They have a bunch there. So the Alpine cheddar and just their New York style.
We love that Cabot New York. Mm-hmm. Get that at Trader Joe's occasionally.
Mm.
But the other thing, you know, we love that Hoag Late Harvest Riesling. Guess who has a Harvest Select Riesling?
Mm.
Chateau St. Michel.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course they do.
But theirs is good.
Good is a relative term. It's
we pleasant. Love the Hoag.
Well, it sure sells better.
We love the Hoag.
It's better to drink than this stuff.
Freaking piss water is better to drink than this stuff.
Yes, actually, it would be. If someone said, Rob, do you want to drink your own urine or Liberty School Cabernet, I would say, I'll piss in my mouth. That's what I would say. I would say that. That would not be on a shelf talker. Rob not. The wine guy said, I'd rather piss in my mouth. I'd rather piss in my mouth.
Hey, he said it's not horrific.
No, he said that about our Chardonnay. No, he said that about your Cabernet too. Yes, I'd rather piss in my mouth. And folks, with that, we're going to take a break and be right back to get this over with here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 17 Liberty School Cat Bernay. We're going to go over to Scott.
You know, we've taken a break because of the pandemic. And, you know, not that I've been sick, but this wine makes me want to be sick. But I'm trying to go back in the memory banks on something that is just as flawed as this is.
J. Lore Cabernet.
Was it this flawed?
Yes.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
This is worse, though.
Yeah, this is worse. This deserves a Becky score of 14. I mean, this is just so horrific. 74?
Yeah.
It's just shit. It's just, I never had a wine that I recall tasted like NutraSweet.
It's blowing off a little bit now.
The NutraSweet?
But it's still crud.
I'm not putting it back in my mouth.
It's still stewy sweet crud.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll put it back in my mouth.
It's lousy. It's a lousy ass wine.
Oh, no. That NutraSweet's still there, dude.
Mm, yeah. I'm giving it 75 of my points. Austin Hope collectively goes in the Wall of Shame, by the way. And this wine is in the Wall of Shame.
Jesus.
Partly because it used to be very competent. I'm not talking about something that would get a 90. I'm talking about something that would be a solid 85, 86 all day long. And there's no damn shame in that. And what they did is just totally fuck this wine to pieces. And it's lost any and all credibility. That's why they're not submitting it for reviews. I saw the 16, though, did get a review. I forget what it was, but what was it? Well, actually, I have it up here. I can tell you that real quick.
This wine makes me want to use hand sanitizer in my mouth.
Oh, how's that taste? It got an 89 from the Wine Enthusiast, the 16th, which, as we know, is not the strongest score. It was an editor's choice, though.
Good Lord.
And this. They gave that a ringer. Then Wilfred Wong gave the 14 an 89. He gave, in the 2012, a 89. Yeah. It's just... Yeah, the only people that have reviewed it are the wine enthusiast Wilfred Wong and the tasting panel. Yeah, that's not the best.
No, you know, some reviews. I mean, I'd be embarrassed to put this out. This should not be in a bottle.
If you have to buy Austin Hope wines, buy then Troublemaker because at least it knows what it is.
Yeah,
this has no idea. This is made by somebody that doesn't know what Cabernet is supposed to taste like.
I defy somebody to blind taste and say this is cab.
No, I would say that it's vomit.
I'd say it's sick.
No. I would boldface tell whoever made this, you aren't good at what you do.
That's fact.
I mean, you're incompetent.
It's really bad. How can you not know that this is a bad product? How can you market your product and put this in a bottle and say, I am going to stand behind this quality Paso Robles?
Maybe they tasted it when they had a dip in.
Sauvignon. You know, it would taste better if you had a dip in.
Jesus. I don't know. I mean, you want to spit it in a Mountain Dew can. I know that. But it's just, I don't get it. You tasted it at some point. All right. And you were trying to, because it's not like the label's all that great. You were trying to do what with this wine? You were trying to accomplish what with this wine? You were trying to elicit what response with this wine? What were you trying to do with this wine? What was its end game? What were, other than selling wine? Because if somebody buys this once,
you're not going to get it again.
That's the thing. It's not like it's sweet where people that like sweet wine would say, I gravitate to that. It's not. And it's certainly not dry for people that like proper wine. It's in that inlier where it's like, what the fuck would you even do with this? There's no way anyone would really say, oh, that tastes good, unless they chew on limestone all day long.
Yeah, and it's just, it's offensive. It's just, it's so, the artificial sweetener taste is so foreign to wine.
Oh, yeah. It's not a natural flavor. No. Yeah.
We've had a lot of bad wines on the show. I've had a lot of bad wines in my private
and lines, too. Yeah.
Well, apparently. I quit doing lines.
Yeah.
But this is right up there. This flaw, this, and I hate artificial sweeteners. Hate them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember a flawed wine as flawed as this one. And I don't think the J-Lord was as flawed as this.
The J-Lord was a jumbled mess, and it was sweet, and it was overtly oaky. But it was bigger than this.
The flaws in it, the problems with that wine were, it was still like a wine. It was just, we didn't care for it. This is a flaw of epic proportions. It's so unusual.
Well, it's lean. It's weedy. It's sweet-ish. It's faux sweet. It's overtly oaky, but the oak is of sawdust and mustiness.
And 16 months of French oak, Rob.
It tastes like a fishing cabin. I mean, it does. It doesn't taste clean. It doesn't taste, let me just do it again. Because that's the thing. The oak, it's sawdust. It's slightly mildewy. This is not a corked wine, by the way. It is not.
No, it's
not corked.
It's just bad.
Yeah.
It just sucks. God.
I mean, that's what you said last. When it hits your tongue and you taste that sour prune cherry flavor, not a good flavor. And with it, like Scott's saying, it tastes artificially sweet, which you don't like. But it tastes like canned prune juice. That's the other thing. It's this stewed canned prune juice. But that normally is artificially sweetened. A chintzy stewed prune juice. That's what it is. It's prunes. Hmm. And I hate prunes, mind you, but I don't need that kind of fiber in my diet. But my grandmother, remember, always, every day, because she liked it, drank prune juice.
Grandpa John has prune juice every day.
Yeah, and it tasted of this. Canned prune juice. That's what this tastes like. And it's not a fruit. See, it's a cherry, and that prune, that canned prune, is the marred oak that's kicking that in and turning it over on itself. Oof. And then you have sawdust and then just a off mildewy oakiness throughout the rest. And there's no real fruit. I mean, it's just horrendously done. Terrible wine.
Do you recommend this wine?
No.
Yeah, I could not recommend something more highly.
So, a 75, a 74, Wall of Shame.
Wall of Shame. Shame on you.
For Austin Hope and his children.
And his children's children.
Yeah, mostly his children. Austin Hope's children. That's what I just did to you, Austin. I put your children in the Hall of Shame.
It's his fault.
How do you like them apples,
motherfucker? I bet they're perfectly nice children.
Not anymore. They're in the Hall of Shame. See, that's what I do. You make this shit, I go after your family. I leave you alone, and you have to watch your children be put in the Wall of Shame. I did that right in front of you. That's just cold-blooded. Savage.
Now there's going to be these little stick Austin Hope family members in the Wall of Shame.
Yes, just your family. I did that in front of you so you can watch them. Well, be put in the Hall of Wall of Shame.
You know, he's probably not listening, so it's actually kind of behind his back.
But still, it's happening. And as far as I know, he's listening.
It is happening.
And he's going, not my kids. Not my kids. And I just did that to your children. How do you like that, fucker?
But maybe he's like, I don't like my kids that much anyway.
I save him for last. I want him to see them be put in the Wall of Shame. And then, only then,
do I deal with him. I've been dealing with them during the coronavirus. They need to get out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish he'd still quarantine himself. And all of his fucking wine. I
wish he'd quarantined his wine.
Jesus. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Lessons Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu, brush our teeth, and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.